Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Farai Chidea, in for Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway, John.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Joining me is William Borucki, science principal investigator for the Kepler mission, in Cocoa Beach, Florida. William Borucki, I guess this is launch eve, correct?
That's right. We launch tomorrow.
So we're one day out. And the Kepler telescope, the Kepler mission, it has an unusual mission in that it's not just sort of gazing about like the Hubble telescope did at spectacular things in the galaxy and far away from Earth. It's actually on a very specific search. Can you explain?
Yes. Basically, the telescope is designed to look at one area of the sky with well over 100,000 stars. And what we're doing there is searching each of these stars to see if there are planets orbiting these stars, and in particular, are there Earth-sized planets orbiting these stars? And we're looking for transits. That is to say, when a planet moves across a star, it blocks some light from the star for a period of about 10 hours, and that repeats every year. So we're looking to see what the orbital periods are and how big the dip is. The bigger the dip, the bigger the planet.
Okay, let's back up for a second. The mission is to find Earth-sized planets, and you have a specific domain of stars to look for. And let's explain again the strategy for finding planets. You're basically looking for shadows, not for light sources, right?
That's exactly right. We're looking for the shadows and the planet passes across the star.
And the idea is that the telescope might not see anything, but it will register the dip in light output from the star. And if it's periodic, if it happens at a constant rate, then you're looking at something orbiting that star, right?
That's right. And that distinguishes it, say, from spots on a star, which come and go in some random fashion.
Now, is this the same strategy that you've used on terrestrial telescopes to find planets? And how will being in space make it easier?
It's certainly been used for several years now for looking for the giant planets around other stars, and it's been very successful. The difference is that if you go into space, you can find the small planets. Jupiters are about 10 times the diameter, 100 times the area of the Earth. And so it's much more difficult to find on Earth. And to do that, you've got to get away from the atmosphere, which has clouds and dust and all sorts of things. It has a day-night cycle. In space, none of that's true. You get a nice, clear view of the stars 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
William, this is Farai. When do you think people latch on to the excitement of finding planets, exploring astronomy? It seems to me that, you know, when I was a kid back in the 70s, there was this incredible energy. And do you think that people are plugged in now to the kind of work that you do?
We've had a tremendous amount of interest. People, you know, from all over tell me that, again, when they were kids, they would look at the nighttime sky and wonder what was out there. And they've never lost that interest, that romance. And so they're still very interested in what's out there. And basically, this tells them what's out there. Are there lots of planets like Earth? In which case, there may be life out there. There might be people out there. There might be, certainly would expect planets to be, billions of years older than our own. But civilizations, that might be millions of years or billions of years in advance of our own.
Indeed.
So they're wondering about that.
And we're all wishing for an Earth. William Borucki, science principal investigator for the Kepler mission, searching for Earth-like planets, which launches tomorrow.